Tonight I want to talk about some things that you may not be aware of. I want to talk about some things about God. Now, you know, we are told to study. As Christians, we are told to study to show ourselves approved unto God. This is what Paul told Timothy. We are to develop a good understanding of God's word and for his will for us as brothers and sisters in Christ. But you know, I don't have to tell you that it is literally impossible for us to understand everything there is to know about our Lord. And even though we have a lot in Scripture that talks about God and his will for us and his love for us and the way he operates in life, in our lives, it's impossible for us to understand all of it. But you know, there are some things that when you do study them, it may be some things that you don't understand. And then there are also some things that when you study them, they are quite obvious if you stop and think about it. And that's really what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about some things about God, some things that he likes, don't like, things that he wants and don't want, that you may have never really thought about it in the way that I'm going to present it to you this evening. So I have three or four things I want to mention to you that God does not want from us or from his children. And some things, of course, that he does want. First of all, let's look at some things that he does not want from his children. Number one, he does not want you to be happy. Now that is a statement, isn't it? This is the same God that created the heavens and the earth. This is the same God that created man. This is the same God that made the earth a beautiful place for us to enjoy. This is the same God who has dealt with man from the very beginning, trying to keep man in line with him, to obey him, to do his will, because he's shown his love to us time and time again. This is the same God who sent his son to this earth to live and to die for us. And yet he don't want us to be happy. Well, let me clarify that statement just a little bit. God does not want you to be happy if it takes worldly pleasure to make you happy. Even though God has made this a beautiful place and he has made it in a way for us to enjoy beautiful things and he has made us in a way that we can enjoy the world. He made it for us. So why would he make a statement like that? Why would God not want us to be happy if we have to look to the world for our happiness? Well, let's look at this. 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 15. Do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Now, what John is telling us here, he is not saying that God doesn't want you to love worldly things. What he is telling us here, he doesn't want us to put worldly things above him. You see, most people, when they fall in love with the world, they fall out of love with God. Worldly things are all that matters to them. Getting ahead, having the physical things in life, having the power that the world can bring is far more important to them than godliness. These are the things that John is saying you need to stay away from. We need to be sure that as we deal with worldly things and enjoy them, that we don't leave God out. That we do not put the world first in our lives. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul actually gives us a list of these things that God doesn't want us to be happy with. And I want to read them to you. Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, for some reason, these activities, these things that Paul is making mention of here, actually makes people happy. Some of these things people will go out of their way to be a part of in their lives. And they call it happiness. But the result of these things generally brings nothing more than sorrow and destruction. Physical sorrow and spiritual destruction. That's what these things will bring to us. And that's why John is saying, you need to stay away from these things. If you love these things, the love of God is not there. You're loving the world instead of God. And no, God doesn't want you to be happy. If these are the things that you have to put into your life in an attempt to find happiness. God does not want you to be happy if it is going to destroy your marriage. Now, of course, we're talking about infidelity here. This goes back to the old law, one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery. It is reinforced throughout the New Testament and the teachings of it. Jesus made this law very clear, Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her is divorced, commits adultery. Okay, now we've done it. We've gone and broken the old law that says thou shalt not commit adultery. We have also broken the New Testament law that reinforces this commandment of the old law. And no, God does not want you happy if you have to turn to this to find happiness. Now, I don't have to tell you, those of you who are married, you're going to have some bumps along the way of your marriage. It is not always going to be rosy. There are always going to be things that will go wrong. There are always going to be things that will test your love for one another and test your marriage. It happens to every couple. But this, according to the Scripture, is not the answer. And if you have to look to this as the answer, God frowns upon that. It is not the way to find happiness. But again, so many people think that this means happiness. But look at the broken homes. Look at the children who have been torn apart. Look at the financial ruin and the chaos that comes from the legal battles of divorce. Happy? That makes you happy? God doesn't want you to find happiness this way. And then, God does not want you to be happy if it results in failure on your part in doing His will. Let me tell you something tonight, my friends, those who are Christians here in this building. Our purpose in life is doing God's will. The minute that you said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the minute that you developed faith, the minute that you repented of your sins and confessed Jesus, the minute that you went down into that watery grave of baptism and walked out, your life changed. You have a new purpose in life, and that purpose is to do the will of God. Simple as that. Our purpose is not just to put on the coat. Our purpose is to work the work. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Our purpose is not to say, Lord, Lord. We will all say, Lord, Lord, won't we? Our purpose is to do his will. Our purpose is to follow his footsteps, is to develop our faith, develop our love, develop our dedication to God. You know, God does want us really to be happy. But we need to understand that our happiness, our true happiness, only comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it comes from putting Him first in our lives. It comes from seeking Him first in our lives. As He said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, do you know what this is saying? If we will put God first, if we will seek Him as our purpose in life, these other things are going to happen. We can find happiness true happiness if we will follow the will of God and not go looking for it elsewhere. So, did you know that? Did you know that God in certain situations do not want us to be happy? And it is when we look in the wrong places for our happiness. There is something else that God does not want. God does not want you to please men. You know, we live in a chaotic time. Everybody's going in different directions. Everybody's looking at different ways, different things to occupy your time, to make you appreciate life, make you to enjoy life. And sometimes it's pretty easy. You know, man's way can be easy. But my friends, we need to be careful that we do not follow the way of man. You know, Jesus talks about two different ways that man can actually go. He does so in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. He says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." So Jesus is telling us now, you know, we can either go on the broad way, which is the way that man generally goes, which is the way that's kind of easy to get on, kind of easy to stay on, but it's going the wrong way. We need to look at that narrow way, the way that God said, you need to be on this road, because look where it's going. It's leading you in the right direction. And it's not pleasing man. It's pleasing God. You know, Paul spoke in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4 that in his work, he didn't seek to please man. He sought to please God. He said, "But we, as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing man, but God who tests our hearts." You see, the Apostle Paul knew where his allegiance lies. His allegiance is with his Father in heaven. His allegiance is with the Son, Jesus Christ, and with the gospel of Christ that he has taken it upon himself to give to the world. And it's not men pleasing, but it is God pleasing, which is so much more important. And not only that, Paul also tells us not to compromise with the false teachers with the gospel of Christ. We read in Galatians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, that in Paul's work here, he did not yield to the false teachers for not even so as 1 hour. He stayed true to God in every way. And that's what God expects of us. He also tells us in Ephesians 5 verse 11 that we are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather we to expose them, show them for what they are, where the people will know to avoid them, to stay away from them, because they're men pleasers. And we are not to be men pleasers. God does not want us to please men. Here's one. God does not want you to be rich. Oh, wow. You know, it's Publishers Clearinghouse time again. Y'all seeing the advertisements on TV? Do you know how many times I have filled those papers out? It was sort of a thing when I worked at Motorola. When they would come out, we would all sit around the break room together, and we'd fill out our papers, and we would, you know, check what color Jaguar we wanted. We would check whether we wanted the color TV or whether we wanted the VCR, and that was back in VCR days. And we would, how did we want our millions? Did we want so much a week or a month for the next so many years, or do we want it in all one lump sum? And we sit there and we feel that, and we come up with ideas that they would think we're buying something from them when we really wasn't. Because you had to buy something for them to really consider you. We did all of that. And you know what we were trying to do? We're trying to get rich. And you know the first thing that we would do if we had won that? Yeah, quit Motorola. Yeah. Never happened, folks. I'm still waiting on my first red car. I do have a red car, but I had to go out and buy it. Rich. It's a wonderful word, isn't it? I guess at one time or another, being rich has crossed every mind in this room. Probably every mind on the planet. But let me tell you what happens sometimes to those who find themselves in this situation. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6 through 12 that the rich can fall into temptation, that sin, and into a snare, and into foolish and harmful lust, which can drown them in destruction and perdition. So that's what being rich can do to you. In Jesus' parable of the sower, he explains the result of maybe rich people when he talks about those on the thorny soil. He talks about the cares and the riches of this world and the deceitfulness of the riches, and they choke the word of God as they're trying to enter into their lives, and they become unfruitful because now they have found a new love that to them is more important than godliness and following the pattern that God had given them. Fact of the matter is, my friends, we can't trust it. We cannot trust the riches. Now, the very first time I tried to get a little red car was back probably in the early 80s. You know that if I had won that little car, it'd probably be sitting somewhere in a dump right now because it would have quit running by now. Remember the first car you ever owned? Where is it now? It's probably been melted down. It's probably in another car by now. I don't know. You see, we can't depend on things like that. We can't depend on our riches to sustain us. That's why Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves can break through and steal. But rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust does not corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. Then this next statement he makes is just awe-inspiring. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And if your heart, my friends, is on the riches of this world, God doesn't want that. He wants you to look to Him for your riches. Because He can give you riches that are far greater than anything you could ever have here. Well, we have to ask this question now. So, well, how, you know, if we have money, if we have things that consider us rich, how do we please God? Because, you know, there have been many rich people who were great servants of God. For example, Abraham, Joseph, King David, Job. These are just a few of the people we have written record of in the Bible of those who were tremendously wealthy. But do you know what they also did? They also served God. Every one of these men put God first. And God saw to it that they were well taken care of as a result. That goes back to Matthew 6:33. And all these things shall be added to you. God doesn't want us to be rich if we have to trust in riches to give us what we want. Well, we've talked about what God doesn't want. Now let's talk for a few minutes about what God does want. What does He want? Well, first of all, God wants us to know Him. He wants us to understand Him. You know, some of the most beautiful words in Scripture are found in Psalm 46, verses 10 and 11. It says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. God wants us to know His majesty. God wants us to know His power. God wants us to know His love and His protection for us. And he wants to give us all of these things. He wants to make our lives so good. But it comes from knowing him, understanding him, and living for him. God also wants you to know the truth, and he wants you to obey it. You know, John tells us that the truth, if we put it into our lives, if we obey it, that it actually shows our love. In 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 3, "Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him." So that's how you do it. You learn of God, you know the truth of God, and you put it into your lives. Now, in order to learn the truth, where did you go? Well, you don't go to the library, and you don't read all of the books that men have written. Just yesterday or today, I don't know which it was, Terry brought in a book that had been sent to the church. Never have heard of this man. Let me tell you something, it's not going in my library. It only took me one page to figure out this is nothing but trash. It is religious trash. And you can find that anywhere you go. In any bookstore, you can turn it on TV, you can go on the internet, it don't matter where you go, you can find this trash, and it is not the truth of God's word. So where do you go? Well, you go to the source. The source is Jesus Christ. In John 14 and verse 6, excuse me, Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And Jesus also said that if you will take this truth, if you will put it into your lives, if you will learn it, if you will obey it, it can make you free. And we all want to be free. And God does want us to know about the false teachers, the ones who will try to turn you away from the truth of God's word. You know, false teachers will bring destruction, according to Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. He says, "But there were false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their deceptive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed." They are going not only just to promote what they're saying, they're going to tear down what God has said. Because that's the way it works. You know, in order to make one thing look good, you have to make something else look bad. That's generally how people do it. And the same thing is true in religion. I have to look good, so I'm going to make someone else look bad. At least that's what Peter says is happening here. And Jesus says when they come to you, when they appear to you, oh, they're going to be so sweet. They're going to be so kind. They're going to be just like sheep. But you better watch out. Because inside, they are ravening wolves. They're not here to help you. They are here to tear you down. And then Paul tells us in Romans 16 that we need to avoid such people. "For those who are of such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, with smooth words and flattering speech. They deceive the hearts of the simple, and we must beware of them." Jesus wants you to know him and his son. Jesus wants you to know the truth and be aware of the false teacher. So there you have it. Things that God wants, things that God don't want. Now the question for you tonight is this. Are you complying with his wants and his wishes? Are you happy in him, or have you turned to the world? Do you seek to please him? Or do you simply seek to please yourself? Do you put your trust in him? Or are you putting your trust in the riches of this world? Have you learned of his truth? Have you obeyed it? And have you given your life to it? You see, these are the things that God wants. He wants us to follow him. He wants us to live for him. And the greatest thing is this. He wants us to be with him. And if you do everything right in his eyes, you can be with him. And not only that, you can be with him forever. So tonight, if you see there is a change that you need to make in your life, now's the time to do it. Give your life to him today if you're not a Christian. Come back to him today if you need to come back to him. Know what God wants and what he don't want. And put these things into your life the way they need to be. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.